the Acts of the Apostles and Romans regarding Priscilla and Aquila. Mandy was doing the reading today, but she's got COVID. So if I ask you to do the reading, folks, accept with caution. Well, I think I've done it three times in the last few weeks as folk have fallen by the wayside. So there we are. But pray for Mandy. She's okay, but definitely has it, I'm afraid. And for me, since I spent some time with her yesterday. There we are. Acts 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Verse 18, Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Centuria because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people. Chapter 16, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. Last night, Christine and I pulled up the drawbridge and drew down the shutters and watched a film. It's the reading today, you might sort of think, hang on a moment, I thought we were talking about Priscilla and Aquila. If you were a casting director and you were casting the parts for the characters in that reading, you can imagine perhaps who would get star billing, you know, Paul played by, and da-da, played by. And the bit parts, the bits at the bottom, you know, in the print that's so small you can't read it on the television screen or it whizzes up so quickly, would probably be people like Priscilla and Aquila. They're just bit parts in a story, but they're so important to that story. And we'll find out more about why it's that way round, really, but why their significance is really important, even though they're not perhaps the star billing characters in the story in Acts. So, dynamic duos. I was thinking about this, and my dynamic duo that I came up with was bacon and eggs. I mean, can you imagine a situation, you know, without bacon and eggs. I don't know whether I can, really. This does become a little bit like Old MacDonald Had a Farm, because as we each try to link to the previous week, it gets longer and longer, all right? But you may well remember that Mike started this series, and because Mike is the only sensible one amongst us, he didn't start with a flashy image. He just got on with the story of Peter and John, all right? So I've ascribed this classical painting to Mike in homage, all right? Mike talked about renewal of the Holy Spirit, the fact it's needed by all of us day by day, and that we need to recognize our opportunities to speak out about Jesus, not just to do the social stuff, to be nice, but to actually employ the message at the same time. Then 2 weeks ago, the silliness started with Dave. All right, two is better than one, and I actually can't applaud this more, really. I mean, who would want one scoop of ice cream when you can have two? Okay, definitely, two are better than one. And the fact that God uses imperfect people to produce good results. Imperfect people for good results. And that's so, so important. And it was that week that we actually also prayed for Ruth and Andrew as they prepared to leave for their destination. And do you remember Ruth actually asked us to pray for stamina, open-mindedness, and open-heartedness? Wasn't she gifted? You know, she probably needs those prayers now more than ever, all right? And then last week, Charles led us on to look at Paul and Silas, all right? And he introduced us to Peanuts and Snoopy. And Charles made the point that God's guidance is sometimes to say no. Not back, not here, not yet, not you, not sure. No. So this week, we're looking at a duo that fills me actually with excitement and awe, because they're just ordinary people. They just remind me, as we've heard over the last 3 weeks, that two are better than one. That was Dave's message. We need to recognize our opportunities and speak boldly about Jesus. That was Mike's message. And the guided journey is not always an easy road. And that was Charles's message. I'm talking, of course, about Priscilla and Aquila. And I want to do this in three ways. I want to just pick out the narrative, what we know about them. I want to just dwell a little bit on the characters, and then I want to look at their significance for us. Why include them in this series? So let's start with the narrative. Priscilla and her husband Aquila met Paul when he came to Corinth. Okay, not a very good map, but there's where Corinth is, in case you've forgotten. It was approximately 50 AD. And they become steadfast friends, traveling companions, ministry co-workers. That's what, 7 words, but wow, what a journey. You know, you make a friendship, that friendship endures, you become steadfast friends, you then go on a journey with that person. You're so friendly, you're happy to travel with them. And then you become joint workers in a venture. You don't just know them, you're not just friends with them, you're not just companions, you work with them in the ministry. Actually, Priscilla and Aquila's story began a year earlier in about 49 BC when Claudius, here he is, Claudius expelled from Rome all the Jews and those who followed Christus, a likely misspelling of Christ. And so included in that 97,000 were Aquila and Priscilla. And they decided to travel to Corinth. My wavy red line is purely a wavy red line. That's not their exact nautical journey, all right? But you get my drift, okay? And they probably went to Corinth because it was the nearest major city outside of Italy. And so they settled as refugees. This was, as Charles said, not their easy road, or their road that was not easy. Imagine being, well, we know what it's like being a refugee. We see it on the television. And when they get there, they open. Now, what do they open? Well, a tent-making shop or a leather works business in Acts 18:2. Well, I have to say, first of all, it probably didn't look like that at all. You know, nice sort of canvas-coloured gazebo-type material. Once in Corinth, Paul collaborated with Priscilla and Aquila, and it's there that he probably made, actually, leather tents for, amongst other clients, the Roman government, the Roman army, private parties. The government wanted leather tents for housing its military all over the empire, and a canvas tent just wouldn't do. It, especially in northern climates, it wasn't strong enough, it wasn't warm enough. And also, Paul could carry with him the tools for leather work, but wouldn't have been able to carry the necessary equipment for working with canvas. Canvas was usually used for boat sails. So when we think about Paul and his tent making, it was probably working with leather, not canvas. And this reconstruction one, it does say there, probably took 750 man hours to make, which makes you realize, you know, he was probably very grateful for some co-workers. So when Paul meets this couple, this married couple, they're already followers of Jesus. And Priscilla and Aquila welcome him into their workplace. They give him meaningful employment that facilitated his missionary journeys. I don't know about you, have you ever shared a kitchen with anybody? Or have you ever shared a workshop with anybody? It's not always easy, is it? I don't know what... I'll ask later. but it's true, isn't it? That one line, they shared a workshop with him. What loving people they must have been. Here's this guy not met before. They become friends, but their initial reaction is, you can share our workspace and our tools. You know, I hope it worked well. Well, it obviously did. And then it's later that they travel with Paul across the Aegean Sea to Ephesus, and they remain there to support a young church. And it was whilst in Ephesus that Priscilla and Aquila meet this Egyptian evangelist named Apollos. We're told Apollos was a learned man who spoke accurately and with great fervor, and his knowledge of the way of God was incomplete. Well, of course, the message that he'd heard was the message from John the Baptist. He'd not heard about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection as the fulfillment of John's message. And that's the bit that Priscilla and Aquila were able to tell him about. So first of all, they recognize an opportunity. They don't go, oh, he's rubbish. They go, there's great potential in this chap. Just like Mike said a few weeks ago, they recognize the opportunity in this potential young leader. And they enable him to go on with the full story. They invited him into their home. They responded to Apollos more like, I think, Pastor Barnabas may have done, rather than the evangelist Paul, going back to Charles's message about comparing the two. Are we willing to help others, to equip them with the full story? Are we prepared to make personal sacrifice for the kingdom? And then Priscilla and Aquila also provide deeper instruction, particularly about baptism. It's not just a sociable connection, it's an instructional one. And we have to be careful with the social gospel that we don't forget the instructional gospel at the same time. And they tackle even the tough subject. And then, remembering we're just focusing on the narrative for the minute, later when Claudius's edict is rescinded, Priscilla and Aquila go back to Rome. We read about that in Romans 16. And I wonder if that was perhaps the eventual yes to them, to be able to return home, which is something we all sort of love to do usually, isn't it? You know, in spite of the fabulous holidays we have, it's great to go home. Acts' narrative on Priscilla and her husband does go dark after this, but there's a good indication that they remained active in the support of the early church. I wonder what that support looked like, but I bet it included social, sort of welcoming, but also teaching, as they worked together on common goals. The other thing to remember is that Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned by name six times in the New Testament, and they're always mentioned as a couple. So we've got Acts 18:24. Done that bit. Yeah, here we go. So Acts 18:2-3, Paul went to see Aquila and Priscilla, found out they were tent makers. Then 18:19, Paul sailed on to Syria with Aquila and Priscilla. The three of them arrived in Ephesus. Acts 18:26, Apollos started speaking bravely in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him to their home and helped him. And then in Romans 16, give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila. They've not only served Christ with me, but they've even risked their lives for me. And then in 1 Corinthians, Aquila and Priscilla came together with the church that greets in that meets in their house, send greetings. And then in 2 Timothy, give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila. Now, the reason why I just quickly ran through those verses is because they show us that they exercised leadership among fledgling churches, that they were held in high esteem, that Paul thinks of them as his co-workers. It's also, well, yeah, there's something else that I'll pick up from that in a minute. But let's move on and think about their characters. What was Priscilla like? If you'd met her, you know, would you have liked to have met Priscilla? She was probably a Gentile, but also from the Roman aristocracy. In certain biblical references, she's also called by the more formal name Prisca, which means venerable. Writers felt comfortable at other points to use her nickname. And one commentator says it's a bit like thinking of the difference between Robert and Bob. Priscilla comes across as warm-hearted, as gracious, probably somebody who doesn't take herself too seriously. Otherwise, she wouldn't have allowed people to call her Priscilla. She'd have insisted on always being called Prisca. What about us? Do we sometimes take ourselves too seriously? Do we get a bit stiff and a bit sort of, it's going to be done my way or no way? I'm sure you don't. She held a higher status, a higher social status than her husband Aquila. And this is perhaps why, if you noticed in those references, in contrast to the usual custom of leading with the husband's name, her name appears before his four times out of the six texts that we just looked at. Generally, the names of women mentioned in Acts are wealthy. There are some exceptions. One, of course, is Mary, Jesus' mother, and the other is Rhoda. Now, actually, do you know, I had to get my thinking cap on. Anybody remember who Rhoda was? Oh, very good. Yes, I'll have you on my pub quiz team. Rhoda, do you remember Acts 12? Peter knocked at the outer entrance and the servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. She recognized Peter's voice and then ran back without opening it. I think it's likely, therefore, that Priscilla had some independent financial means. The name Order, putting her name first, might also signal that she actually had the superior teaching capabilities. It's somewhat uncharacteristic of the naming conventions in the Bible, and it suggests that she played the leading role in their ministry work. And even in that bit where they were working with Apollos and teaching Apollos, her name comes first. There are lots of examples in Paul's letters where he greets women besides Priscilla. There's a lady called Apphia in Philemon, Lydia of Thyatira that Charles mentioned to us in Acts, Nymphia of Laodicea in Colossians, and a deacon named Phoebe in Romans, who's also described as a patron. We have patrons on YouTube channels, don't we? People who pay, you know, or subscribe. What makes Priscilla slightly different to all of these other women is the fact that she's never mentioned separately from her husband. It's always Priscilla and Aquila, or sometimes Aquila and Priscilla. In marriage and ministry, they were both together. Now, I'm not going to name them and embarrass them, but do you know we have some couples in our own church, don't we, where you think of one and you automatically say two? You know what I mean? Because they always seem to do things together. And that's what this ministry was like. Priscilla and Aquila were always working together. So what was Aquila like? Well, he was probably a Jew from the Turkish province of Pontus. And Aquila is actually in Latin, means eagle. At some point, he must have traveled from Pontus, his home in northern Asia Minor, modern Turkey, near the Black Sea, to Rome. And then as the tent maker, he was clearly of the artisan class. Sometimes freed slaves held such jobs, but then Paul was also a tent maker, and he was a freeborn Roman citizen. I wonder if that was could have been a cause for conflict between them. The different socio-economic backgrounds. But if so, it didn't rear its ugly head. Friends get over those sorts of differences. Both free men and former slaves work together as artisans in this case. A common outcome, but very different socio-economic ways of getting there. And really, that's about it for Aquila. There's not a lot more we can say about him. So let's zoom straight on and think about their significance. Do you remember at school being taught the importance of significant numbers and decimal points and decimal places and, you know, ignoring the ones on the end sort of thing? So what is the significance of Priscilla and Aquila? They were friends of Paul. They were mentors to Apollos. They demonstrated daring and beautiful possibilities of men and women working together. Daring and beautiful. That's the way, Tim Breen describes it. Those are quite challenging words, aren't they? Have you ever thought of your marriage, perhaps, as daring and beautiful? There are other marriage duos in the Bible, aren't there? Abraham and Sarah, Moses and Zephora, Ruth and Boaz. But no marriage is quite like that of Priscilla and Aquila. And consequently, no ministry was quite like theirs. On the sort of surface level, it demonstrated the added value of men and women partnering together in the long term for the cause of Christ. It's clear that their travels... from their travels, they were at home wherever they were. They were at home in Rome. They were at home in Corinth. They were at home in Ephesus. They were at home wherever their ministry called them. And the other key thing that we shouldn't miss is that their lives point out the importance of hospitality. You know, Paul arrives in their community. And what do? They gather in this worn-out traveler. They provided shelter. They provided company. They provided income. In Ephesus, they followed the same template with Apollos, perhaps sharing what they'd learned from Paul. They strengthened the witness of this remarkable young preacher. Their table and their living room was as important as their education and their learning. Have you ever thought about, you know, does hospitality feature in your life as a means of kingdom growth? You might like to also consider, especially thinking of Paul and Barnabas that Dave spoke about, whether Paul was a difficult house guest. Of the two, I think I'd have rather entertained Barnabas than Paul. I think Barnabas would have been gentler. I think Paul could have been a bit prickly. But hospitality looks different for different people. It could be a favorite lunch counter. Hospitality could be going to a favorite view. It could be inviting somebody to an open space. It could be a sofa. It could be a picnic on the floor. It could be indoors, it could be out. And if you think about it, more important are the symbols of hospitality. You know, when somebody comes to your house and you've invited them there, what do you do? Well, if it's a formal meeting and you don't know them, you'd probably shake their hand. If it's a friend, you'd probably give them a hug. An unharried host or hostess is probably more significant than a meal that is perfectly perfect and everything is just as it should be. And sometimes we get too wound up in our frenetic preparations, and they're not the things that are significant to the guests. The guests are more concerned with being made welcome. In Romans 16, verse 3, it says this: "Not only I, but all of the churches of the Gentiles are grateful for Priscilla and Aquila." Their lives were testimonies of God's faithfulness to the refugee, to the worker, the obedient, to the wise. And around the Mediterranean, their work was recognized. The NIV Study Bible, Study Application Bible says this: "Their story is not about what happened between husband and wife, but what can happen through husband and wife. Their effectiveness together speaks about their relationship with each other." Their effectiveness together speaks about their relationship with each other. And I think it's also important to say this: what if I'm not a couple? Well, in a way, I'd come back and say, well, are you sure you're not a couple? In the sense of, you're wedded to Jesus, but also maybe the couple is you and a friend, or you and another church family member, or a house group member, or a prayer partner, or someone from another church, or Jesus himself. We're never alone, and even those who've lost loved ones in recent years and may feel alone, partnership working is still an invite God places before you. It doesn't matter what our partnerships look like. God longs to be active through partners all over our communities, you and one other. Are you ready? Are you willing to go into partnership for Christ? There's a sort of postscript to all of this. Eventually, when the exile of Jews from Rome was lifted, they returned to their home in the capital city, and once again, Priscilla and Aquila started new churches there. Don't give up. Even when you feel like a refugee, even when you feel you're going through tough times, even when you're in pain, God will take you home in the end. And home is what we make it, isn't it? Home may be the physical place we long to be, or the eternal kingdom he promises we will be for those who know and love Jesus as their Lord and Savior. On the Sunday page for this week, there are some personal reflection thoughts. I've put one for each day. There's six of them. I didn't think you'd want one for next Sunday. But if you get a chance during the week, just sort of let those mull through your mind each day about the gift of hospitality, how we can exercise hospitality, and how our working for Jesus is often made better when it's working with somebody else and not just trudging along on our own, feeling overwhelmed. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, what is the task that you long for us to complete? Perhaps you long for us to be a prayer warrior. Perhaps you long for us to be a chatty socialite, telling people the stories of your love. Perhaps you long for us to just be a good listener, sitting still and listening to others, reminding them of your love for them. But whatever you call us into, Lord, help us not to be afraid to be a duo, whether it's working just with you or working with another, that our lives might be more effective through a ministry serving you. in everyday things, in everyday moments. In Jesus' name.